everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we are not believers because we say we are one. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23 warns us that we have to make sure now and not when the day of the Lord comes. Because by the time we stand before the Lord, and then we started to make our case before the Lord and say to Him, we have prophesied in Thy name. We have done miracles in Thy name. We have even cast out demons in Thy name. And the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Making sure of our own salvation is a very, very important event in your life and in my life. More so when we live in the 21st century, when Christianity is so diluted and there are many voices, many different brands of Christianity. And like in the early church, in the book of Acts, there were no denominations, there were no charismatics, there were no Roman Catholics, there were no new evangelicals. It was just Christianity. And yet very soon, Satan would slip in incipient Gnosticism. Whereas early as the time of the Apostle John had to warn the believers, test every spirit. Do not presume that you are a child of God. Do not presume that anyone who say he believes in Jesus Christ, he is a child of God. He's on your side. Test every spirit. And if they needed to test every spirit in the first century AD, how much more for us in the 21st century? Judas was known as one of the 12. In the passage that was read to us in verse 43, one of the 12. And then in the earlier verses, verse 10 and verse 11, when Judas behind the scene premeditated, deliberately planned to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, he was also called one of the 12. Why did the Bible say that? One of the 12. What is the big deal being one of the 12? These 12 were called by the Lord at the very early stage of Christ's ministry, which lasted only 3.5 years or so. They enjoyed intimacy with Christ. They experienced the power of Christ when they were sent forth two by two. All they had was the name of Jesus Christ. And they experienced power that you and I can't even imagine. They healed the sick in the name of Christ. They cast out demons in the name of Christ. Judas was one of the 12. Judas, like all the other 12, had inner circle seats, observing the life of Christ, heard the teaching of Christ, tasted the many miracles of Christ. And here we have him as one of the 12, identified publicly everywhere they went, all would see him as a disciple of Christ. We have many disciples of Christ today. We have many who call themselves Christians. The Roman Catholics do so. The new evangelicals do so. Those who believe the Bible have mystics do so. Those who believe that there are no miracles in the Bible do so. The Mormons do so. The Seventh-day Adventists also believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior. Everyone seems to be a Christian nowadays. But the fact is, are we really, really disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just because Judas was one of the 12 meant nothing. He was a betrayer of Christ. Could a genuinely born-again believer, will he ever betray Christ? The denial of Christ is something that we are very familiar with. But to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, would a child of God ever do that? This was at the very, very brink of the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be persecuted. And very soon the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified. It was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ needed the disciples most. And here we have one of the 12, deliberately plotted and planned with premeditation for filthy lucre because of money. He would sell his Lord and his Master. Look at verse 10 and verse 11 of Mark chapter 14. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. So first mark of a betrayal is premeditated betrayal. For filthy lucre. For filthy lucre, they will sell the name of Christ. You call yourself a disciple? Well, Judas too. Have you sold the Lord Jesus Christ for a promotion in your office? Have you sold the Lord Jesus Christ for that extra bonus? Have you sold the Lord Jesus Christ because you want to get that contract at all costs? You call yourself a disciple, a disciple of Christ? So did Judas. And what did he do? He went unto the chief priests. One purpose, to betray him unto them. To betray means to surrender, to hand someone over, to deliver him. And when they heard it, they were very glad. They were very happy. Because they had intended to kill the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time. Ever since he claimed that he is God, by the miracles that Jesus did, that was the message that Jesus declared. They did not want to kill him because of the miracles. They did not want the message that the miracles pointed to that Jesus declared. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. I am God incarnate in your midst. They hated that teaching. And so when this disciple proposed to them, I want to surrender him to you. And they were glad. And they promised to give him money. And the money was 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. That's how much the Lord Jesus Christ meant to Judas. Don't ever put a price tag to the name of Christ that you bear. Please don't think that, oh, only Judas will fall into this sin of betrayal. Never me. Please understand that a disciple of Christ will never want to betray Christ. If you ever put a price tag on the name of Christ, and you call yourself a disciple, please check your salvation. Christ must be to you without price. Priceless. How can you put a price tag to the blood of Christ, whom you say has been shed on the cross of Calvary in order to redeem you from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which was death and hell? How can you put a price tag to the name of Christ? You call yourself a Christian. It's true, all right? Call yourself a Christian. God did not say don't call yourself a Christian. But please hold that name of Christ highly when you call yourself a Christian. If you are not prepared to elevate and exalt the name of Christ by the way that you live, and you call yourself a Christian, then you will bring the name of Christ down. Like what Judas did, one of the 12. And they were so glad that they found one who was prepared to betray the Lord Jesus Christ for money. What is the price that you're going to put to the name of Christ? Oh, I've never done so. You sure you've never done so? Don't take your brother, your sister to court. If your father has passed away and he leaves behind an inheritance, and they want the chunk of the inheritance, you are a Christian. You want to take them to court? Because you want a chunk of the inheritance and you are very bitter and unhappy that you did not get that amount? They know you are a Christian. They are not Christians. So if you take them to court and you win, and then what? You want to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, how God loves them and how Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, after you have taken them to court and grabbed that chunk of inheritance? You have put a price tag on the name of Christ, and that price tag, what's that chunk of inheritance? It's so easy to put a price tag on the name of Christ and betray Christ in the process. You are confronted by that day in and day out in the workplace. How many times you premeditatedly you planned to deceive in your office just to be in the good books of your big boss so that your big boss will look down upon you with favor, and then maybe you will get promoted, maybe you will get that top salary, maybe because you're going to get some money out of it. And when you do contract, when you put on pen and paper a particular contract, will you be upfront and honest about it? Or will you just simply circumvent? Well, law may allow you to do it. The law of the land may allow you, but the Bible does not allow you. And because you are a child of God, the Bible must always be the dominant deciding factor, not the law of man. Sometimes you cut corners in your taxation. Sure, the law may allow it. There may be some experts in finding the loophole in the law. But the Bible says you render to Caesar what is Caesar and you render to God what is God's. Plain and simple. You live in Singapore, the tax is such, you pay. Don't try to cut corners. But it's a lot of money. More precious, priceless than the blood of Christ. You want to put a price tag to the name of Christ that you bear? I am a Christian. You want to put a price tag on it? You go to some Western country where the tax is 50%, pay 50%. God has put you there. God will provide for your needs. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. You think 50% is bad? You study how the citizens of Rome abused their privileges when they dealt with all those who were non-citizens of Rome during the Roman Empire. And if you think taxation of 50% was bad, and even in that kind of strict, unjust, definitely not equal system, Jesus still taught them, render to Caesar what is Caesar, render to God what is God's. Don't put a price tag on the name of Christ, because very, very soon you're going to betray him. Because you plotted and you planned it, like Judas. And this was at the brink when Jesus Christ needed them to be identified with him. He not only did not identify with Christ, he betrayed Christ. And the enemies were very happy, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him now. You agree, I agree, contract is done. Let me tell you the best time. And the best time was very soon, verse 43. And so that brings us to the second identifying factor of a betrayal of Christ. Premeditated for filthy lucre. Second identification. If this is true of your life, check your salvation. Because a disciple of Christ truly born again will not behave like this. You may call yourself one of the 12, just like verse 43. One of the 12. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, that is while Jesus was speaking. What did Jesus say? The agony. Last Lord's Day message. Then cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staffs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayeth him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, take away and lead him away safely. That was what he did. Shameless, cold betrayal. Cometh to Jesus. What does that word cometh mean? It's not just come and go. This is a very strong word that describes he stood out. Because the 12 of them were with Jesus. He stood out away from the other 11. And then he fulfilled what he promised the high priest. The word cometh to appear publicly. He was no longer ashamed. He now dared to do it in front of Christ. He dared to do it in front of the other 11. The 11 disciples did not know that he was the Judas that will betray Christ, even though Christ said, one of you will betray me at the Last Supper. Because Jesus Christ treated dealt with, loved all 12 of them equally. There was no clear distinction at all that the other 11 disciples could spot. Because when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, each and every one of them have to search their own heart. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I? But now Judas was not ashamed. He detached himself and then he deliberately did it. What did he do? This is going to be the sign that I'm going to let you know that this is the Christ. He kissed Jesus Christ. And that was the kiss of betrayal. And then he said, this is he. Take him. Lead him away safely. Don't let him escape anymore. He had walked through the crowd many times when the enemies wanted to kill him because it was not his time. And so Judas told them, make sure that you get him and hold him securely and safely. Don't let him escape. Shameless, cold betrayal. He did it. For 30 pieces of silver. He went all the way. It was not just a theory on his part. It was deliberate, cold-hearted betrayal. He did it. Would you do it? Have you done it? Actually executed what you have premeditated in your heart? Or would you go to office? Would you go to work? Never, never at any time will I ever compromise my testimony for Christ. Regardless, I must trust Him. I must trust Him to provide for my family and what I need. When I go out into the world, I must never betray Christ. His name must never, never be shamed by my conduct and by my words. It's not that I'm perfect. I will make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you admit the mistakes, and then you bear the consequences of your mistakes, but don't ever betray Christ and bring shame to His name. Like Judas. But you may say, well, he regretted. Did he regret? Turn to Matthew 27, and we will look at his regret. Matthew 27, verse 3-5. His regret is not recorded in Mark, but it's recorded for us in Matthew 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, after they had arrested him. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, because they did not have the power to enforce capital punishment. They were a subset of the law of the Roman Empire. They had limited power to punish in terms of persecution and put a person in prison. But they had no power to kill or take a life. And they wanted Jesus dead, as what they said. They wanted to put him to death. And so only Pilate, the provincial king that Caesar had placed to look after the land of Israel, he had the power to enforce crucifixion, that is, death by crucifixion. And that's why they had no choice but to deliver him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, who had the power to execute and take a life. And then Judas, which had betrayed him, no more one of the 12, the one who betrayed, now he has been given a new title, the one who betrayed Christ. When he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. When he saw that Jesus Christ was now condemned, he repented himself. Now please note that this word repentant is not the usual word for repentance. This is a totally different word. This word simply means remorseful. He was sorry. He regretted what he did. Another word is used when it comes to genuine, God-honoring repentance. That repentance will cause a person to turn back to God. That is not the word that is used here to describe Judas. This word repentant simply means he regretted. That's all. He regretted what he did. And then he brought again the 30 pieces of silver that the chief priest gave to him. And he said to them, I have sinned. I have done wrong in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. That was it. And then they said, well, what is that to us? None of my business. Thank you for betraying him. Now that we got him, we don't care about you. And then Judas cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. And then he departed And he went and he hanged himself. That's how we know that his repentance was not from God. He will never take his own life. Anyone who is genuinely, sincerely repentant, that is the God-honoring repentance, where he will turn back to God, and then he will live for God and live for Christ all over again. The one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, premeditatedly, wholeheartedly, shamelessly sold the Lord Jesus Christ for filthy lucre. And in his remorse, there are many kinds of remorse. There are many people who will repent and remorse, but they did not turn back to God, and Judas was one of them. So even if you say, oh, I'm so sorry, and you say so sorry to God, but did you draw back to the Lord? Did you come back to the Lord, whereby your relationship with God and your fellowship with God is restored and renewed? If nothing like this happened, then Judas would be your example. Check your salvation. But is it not the same as denial? It is very different from denial. It is not the same as denial. You look at Peter's case. Verse 66. Peter was beneath in the palace, and there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. Now he wanted to be near Christ, but he was frightened. It is true. He also, like Judas, said certain words. But there is a big difference between what Judas said and what Peter said. In the case of Judas, he deliberately, premeditatedly wanted to sell Jesus Christ out. But in the case of Peter, you look at verse 31, after Jesus said to them that he was about to be arrested, he will be killed, and then Peter was the main spokesman and said that though all shall be offended, verse 29, yet I will not be offended. I will not be scandalized. I am prepared to be identified with you, Lord, even to the very end. And then Jesus said in verse 30, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, you shall deny me three times. But he spake the more vehemently, that is Peter, all the more he said to the Lord, Lord, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also the rest also followed what he said. Now, what is the difference between what Peter said and what Judas said? Judas deliberately, premeditatedly sell the Lord Jesus Christ. He put a price tag on Christ, that if it comes to it, there is an opportunity where I have to choose this amount of money and the Lord Jesus Christ, I will choose money and I will sell Christ up. That was what he said. And if you ever said that, then denial is not for you. You have betrayed. In the case of Peter, sincerely, genuinely from his heart, when he uttered these words and when he countered what Jesus said to about him in verse 30, you're going to deny me three times. He said, no, Lord, I'm not going to deny you three times. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to embrace you, and I'm prepared to die with you. He genuinely, sincerely meant it. But he did not know how weak he was. But in his own heart, he meant every word of it. He really, really intended to follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. And that is the heart of a genuine disciple. A total, complete surrender to the Lord. Yes, maybe in the future, somewhere down the road, you will behave like Peter. You will deny Christ. But when you make that oath, when you truly promise the Lord, Lord, I'm going to follow you to the very end of my life. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to bring shame to the name of the Lord. I will go to prison for you. I will go to death. I will go to the cross for you, Lord. He meant it. He did not know how weak he was. And so when crunch time came, when he witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ was arrested, how they trumped up charges against him, he was there, but he was scared. He was frightened. He did not know that while he was beneath in the palace, that one of the maids of the high priest would approach him and then would accuse him and said, because he was there warming himself, and she looked upon him and said, you are one of them. You are with Jesus of Nazareth. And instantaneously, reactively, he denied and said, no, I do not know him. Neither understand. I don't know what you are saying. And then the cock crew. He went out of the porch. And then another maid saw him. And then the same kind of accusation. He is one of them. And he denied it again and said, no, no, I'm not one of them. Now his life was not in danger. He was just simply frightened, scared and fearful. And then about an hour later, the third confrontation came. I know not this man of whom ye speak. And then the cock crow. And then Peter remembered what the Lord said. None of these was premeditated. Sincerely, genuinely, he wanted to follow Christ. But his life was not perfect, far from perfect. He stumbled. He fell. You and I will still deny Christ. Sometimes out of fear, isn't it? When someone asks you a question on the spur of the moment, you're so frightened of losing your job, whatever it is, and then you say, no, 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 it's not me. You know it's you. That was Peter's experience. And sometimes, very often, sad to say, that's our experience too, isn't it? At home, and your parents confront you. No, 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 I did not play truant. I did not play truant in school. But you know you did. I did not copy, but you know you did. That moment of fear, spur of the moment, that was what happened. And then the Bible tells us in Luke, that is not found in Mark, something that really, really touched Peter's heart. Luke 22. That's how we know that the space of an hour, because Luke 22, verse 59 tells us that the gap between the second and the third, a space of 1 hour, about the space of 1 hour, verse 59. And then when he denied the Lord the third time, the cock crew, look at verse 61 of Luke 22. The Lord turned. When the Lord heard also the cock crew, the Lord turned. And then the Lord looked upon Peter. The word looked upon Peter literally means he stared fixatedly upon Peter. He looked at his face, deliberately trying to catch his eye. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then Peter went out, and then he wept. And the weeping there is to cry out loud. He was sorrowful to the depths of his soul, and he did it bitterly. This is godly repentance. How do we know? He did not take his life. In John chapter 21, Peter was restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 21 was the seventh appearance of Christ after his resurrection. All in all, there were 10. How do you think Peter felt? In the earlier appearance of Christ, it was to a group. Jesus appeared, Peter was there. How would you feel as Peter? You betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ? No, you denied the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus needed you most. You failed him. You regretted and you cried and you cried and you felt so miserable, and the misery still holds and grip your heart. And then the Lord appeared. The Lord rose from the dead. Why do you think when news came to him through the ladies, the Lord is risen? Why do you think Peter rushed to the tomb? He wanted consolation and comfort from the Lord. He wanted the Lord to forgive him and to embrace him and to restore and bring him back into the fold. The earlier appearances, the Lord did not broach the subject. The Lord appeared, peace, be still. And then the Lord soon disappeared. He didn't raise the subject. How do you think Peter felt? He dared not raise the subject too. That's why in John chapter 21, we are told that Peter went back to his fishing. Perhaps he felt that the Lord doesn't want him to serve anymore, because the Lord appeared 6 times and he did not know the Lord will appear the 7th time during this period. He fished all whole night, and he also led his cousins and his friends astray. They also went back fishing together with him. How to serve the Lord? We have failed the Lord. We have denied him when he needed us most. And the Lord said, because you truly, sincerely repented. Because the Lord asked him, Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times, because you denied me three times. And Peter said, you know, Lord, I love you. You know, Lord, I love you. Peter's repentance was godly repentance because it drew him back to Christ. The denial was real. The denial was out of a genuine, sincere heart that he really wanted to die with Christ, but when it time came for him to do it, he could not follow up what he said. And so he denied. He sinned. No doubt about it, he sinned. Please, when you become a Christian, don't ever think that your life will be one of perfection. It is right for us to have a heart like Peter, to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm prepared to go all the way for you, whatever it takes. And there will be moments such as this, as Peter had experienced. Out of the spirit of the moment, because of fear, like Peter, you deny Christ. But please, don't stop yourself from going back to Christ. Weep bitterly by all means. Know that the Lord Jesus Christ is near. Just as Jesus Christ was very near to Peter, even though Peter was far from him, but Jesus was never far from Peter. Jesus looked at Peter. Peter dare not look at Christ. But Jesus looked at him, stared him, looked at him, looked at his face. Jesus knew that Peter wept bitterly. And that you must remember. The kind of deep sense of repentance and genuine repentance of weeping for our sin. Jesus knows. We are entering into the week where we will remember the death and the resurrection of Christ. Think and ponder and consider how you are living for Christ as a Christian. It's easy to just simply call ourselves, I'm a Christian. Millions of people all over the world are doing it. Thousands and thousands of them were standing there waiting for the new Pope to appear. And they all call themselves Christians. That's easy. But you and I know that to carry the cross of Christ as a genuine, truly born-again Christian, it is always the way of the cross. And the way of the cross tells us that those who want to live in obedience to Christ must be prepared for suffering. That is part of the calling. Not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his namesake. It's a whole package. And why are we not suffering for Christ? Could it be because we are not living for Christ? Because the world is still in absolute abject darkness and still full of sin, if not worse than in the time of Christ. The world has not changed. And if we are living a holy life, how can the world embrace us? How can the world hug us and accept us? The world will hate us just as they hated Christ. That's what Jesus warned the disciples. Don't be shocked or surprised when they hate you, because they have hated me first. And as long as you live for Christ and you shine forth the light of Christ into a world of spiritual darkness, Satan, for one, is not going to like you. The world will definitely despise you, and therefore they want to stop you. Why are we not living for Christ? Don't deny him anymore. Repent and weep bitterly for the many, many times when we could have and should have stood up for Christ, but we did not. At home, in school, in your workplace. You know those occasions when you should have stood up for Christ and should never have denied him, but you did. And you felt miserable, like Peter. Well, the Lord says, I know. And all the Lord wants from you is to answer the same question he posed to Peter. Do you love him? Do you love him? Then come back to the Lord and start witnessing for him afresh. Don't ever give up living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Big difference between betrayal and denial. One is premeditated, planned to sell Jesus out for filthy lucre. They, like Judas, are not born again. There is no price tag that you must ever put to the name of Christ. Peter, a heart. I go all the way for you, Lord. And in the course of your life, you may stumble and fall. like Peter, but always come back to the Lord like Peter. Which do you belong to? Betrayal or denial? Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit search deep into our hearts, for You know our lives, for nothing is hid from Thee. There is nothing as a private and a public life before Your very eyes. Help all of us to look deep into the very depth of our soul. Help us to know that we are like Peter and not like Judas. O Lord, may Thou be merciful, that perchance there be some who are like Judas. May Thou cause them to truly, genuinely repent of their sin, that will turn them back to Christ, and not just only feeling sorry and remorseful like Judas. But may they be like Peter, truly weep bitterly for their sins, and turn back to Christ and live for Him once more. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.